You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Hit our friends up over at Locked On Cubs and Locked On Bears. Our text and voicemail line is at 331-979-1369. We're doing mailbag tomorrow, an entire episode dedicated to taking your questions and your voicemails. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. Matt back for a Tuesday episode. Today on deck, we've got a couple different things. We're going to go all over the place. Quickly touch on Wendell Carter Jr. and some stuff going on Instagram with him. And also want to get into this very, very interesting, bizarre, tell-all story from Gilbert Arenas from the Action Network, as well as talking about maybe Bobby Portis in a contract extension this summer and leading into this season. And also what that might mean for him and if the Bulls are actually actively talking with him or not. So we're going to get all of those good things and some more stuff. But right off the top of the bat, Matt, how you doing? A little bit of Bulls news. I don't think if it's anything real significant, but Wendell Carter Jr. putting out a couple interesting Instagram stories last night.
Yeah, definitely an interesting thing that made Bulls fans raise their eyebrows. What's up, Jordan? Real quick, before we get into this, I meant to do this yesterday on our Monday show, and I forgot. Quick shout out to our friends at Chicago Bulls Brazil. Some Bulls fans down in Brazil with a Twitter account. They can you can follow them at BullsBR. They are a fan of the show. We appreciate them listening all the way down in Brazil. Check them out if you want to do some Bulls social media in Portuguese instead of in English. we appreciate you guys listening all the way down there. Yeah, this Wendell Carter Jr. story is really weird. So basically, if you didn't see this on social media yesterday, if you don't follow him on Instagram, if you're not on Twitter a lot, because his Instagram, it was an Instagram story, but of course everybody screenshotted it right away. And it's two parts. The first part, it's just text. Wendell Carter Jr. on Instagram saying, "I swear I don't want no other female on this planet." And then a follow-up with, "So all females, please get out of my DMs, and the ones who have my number, get rid of it." And that was that. And all, of course, all sorts of Bulls fans are sitting here wondering, like, what the heck does this mean? By the power of deduction, it seems like Wendell has himself a girlfriend or some lady friend, and probably just in the span of the last couple of months since being a top 10 NBA draft pick and gaining all sorts of notoriety and new Twitter followers and new social media followers, has all sorts of people sliding into his DMs saying, "Hey, what's up? You in Chicago? want to get together, have a drink, maybe some sex. I don't know what's going on, but clearly Wendell is not here for it. And basically just told everybody to leave him the hell alone.
Good for him too, man. 19-year-old guy, like, let the dude focus on what he wants to focus on. It's clearly basketball and getting ready for his rookie season this year. Yeah, it sounds like he's got a girlfriend too, so I can't...
And maybe a bit of a jealous girlfriend?
I can't imagine.
If she has seen all of this attention he's been getting? I don't know. Maybe that motivated him to make this post?
I can't imagine that... That any girl would be too thrilled about their boyfriend having a bunch of girls hit them up in the DMs. Like, that's, I could imagine that's probably not a good situation. Good for him, though. Going on stories, telling people to leave him alone. So, good for him. Not really a big story either. So, I wouldn't blow it up into anything really that big. It's just more so, hey, if anything, you could spin this into a positive, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Even if it's not a girlfriend situation and he is single, like, this is him telling people, hey, I'm trying to focus on basketball and what's going on with my career. So if you're a Bulls fan looking at this, this could be a positive spin for Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, I mean, and it certainly falls in line with what we've heard from various sources, his parents, the people at Duke that he was with, teammates and coaches. Everybody that knows this young man has spoken so highly of his character, and that was certainly echoed by the Bulls front office during the drafting process when he came to work out for them before he ended up falling to the Bulls at 7, and then everything they've said about Wendell since they drafted him back in June. His high character kid, great work ethic, strong head on his shoulders. And this certainly seems like the kind of response that a kid who's focused on basketball and improving himself and staying out of trouble would have to maybe being overwhelmed by this sudden outpouring of affection and interest in some honeys on Instagram. Because really, when you think about this, I don't know about you, Jordan, but like my first thought was, this is the opposite of how we usually hear about professional athletes getting into trouble on Instagram or Twitter for sliding into people's DMs, right? That's like now become a thing in our current world of social media, is athletes are trying to be sneaky or trying to be subtle and, you know, thinking they, oh, I can slide into this model's DMs or I can slide into this person's DMs and say, hey, you trying to go out for a date tonight or something like that. And then, of course, because everything gets out in today's world of social media, it gets out and they get embarrassed. Right. Speaking of our friends over at Locked On Cubs, they can remember this. I remember this. Wilson Contreras just last fall, right? Got in a whole bunch of hot water because he slid into the DMs of retired porn star Mia Khalifa, who then put him on blast on Twitter saying like, hey, Cubbies, your man's wandering around my DMs. Can you come pick him up? And screenshotted Contreras like consistently, not just one DM, but consistently sending Mia Khalifa DMs saying like, hey, what's up, honey? Like, let's talk. So this is the opposite, where Wendell is basically saying, hey, all you females that are coming at me on my DMs and coming at me on Instagram, like, leave me the hell alone. I want nothing to do with you. So that's a good thing for the Bulls and this young man who we keep hearing about his strong character.
It's funny. It brings me back to like early Twitter, like J.R. Smith. That was like one of the very first slide into your DMs. J.R. Smith doing it to some random Instagram social media influencer, really, really beautiful girl. Another one was Ray Allen too. Like Ray Allen, instead of sending a text message, he's like going off on his timeline. This was back in like 2009 when like Twitter had just started, and everybody knows the Ray Allen story. Like there's a million screenshots. If you don't know it, just go Google it and you'll get a good laugh out of it too. But yeah, this is a classic case of social media, and good for Wendell Carter Jr. though. Like back to that, good for him. Focused on basketball and only basketball. So that's exciting as a Bulls fan. There's another thing I wanted to touch on in the beginning of this show, too. If you didn't get a chance to go to the Action Network, not only did the Action Network's having a pretty big 48 hours, first of all.
Yeah, they just got Worldwide Wob, didn't they?
Yep, and that's a very good hire. Like, he is, if you're talking about king of social media, as far as NBA Twitter goes, he is absolutely at the top. He did a show before this called Buckets with Cassidy Hubbard of ESPN, Chicago native as well. I don't know if they're doing that show anymore, if that got axed, but he'll be at the Action Network now, so I'm excited to kind of see what content he's going to put out there. But he also put out, there's also a story, very fascinating story, about Gilbert Arenas and what exactly happened between him and that Wizards locker room when there was this so-called shootout. Guys were bringing guns into the locker room. By all accounts, when I was reading this story last night, this might be the funniest version of this story, and it's told straight from Gilbert Arenas. And if anybody, any of you know what Gilbert Arenas is like, especially before he had sort of this media outbreak and he went to Complex and made his own show, like he was absolutely ruthless on Instagram. He would roast people out of nowhere. And so Gilbert Arenas writing this story from his mouth is just, it's honestly the funniest thing. The thing that I took away from this, there's two things. One was a Bulls connection. The beginning of the story starts with actually talking about what the game is that they were playing and why it got so heated. It's called Boo Ray. And actually Bobby Portis and Zach LaVine are two guys that are quoted in this story, talking about how they play it in the locker room. Zach LaVine actually said he picked it up from Kevin Garnett with the T-Wolves and brought it to Chicago. And it's funny because Zach LaVine says, like, we'd rather play Boo-Ray than go out to the clubs on nights. He said, we were playing it three or four times a week, and these guys are playing high-stakes game. And from what I understand of what Boo-Ray is, it's basically like a version of spades. And so this is what they would play in the locker room. Obviously, high stakes, too. These guys have a lot of money, a lot of downtime, too. But pretty funny that this story came out, and I was telling you this too. Basically, what I took away from this is the Gilbert Arenas versus Javaris Crittenden was him basically having JaVale McGee win an entire game, screwing over Javaris Crittenden, and then Javaris getting mad because he couldn't win his money back from JaVale McGee, so then he took it out on Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas was just absolutely ruthless in this article, and it's honestly one of the funniest things I've read a part of NBA stories go. So you got to go to the Action Network. I'll link it to our Twitter page and as well as on our Facebook, but if you haven't read this yet, it is the funniest story I think I've read in a while.
It is. It's crazy, man. I hadn't thought about it since... I've certainly thought about it since, but I had thought about it in a while until seeing that article pop up, the whole Gilbert Arenas gun in the locker room story, which when that story came out, when that story broke, it was nuts. I mean, it took over national news and SportsCenter, and everybody was like, what is this guy doing bringing a gun to his NBA locker room? And it's crazy to think that these days when you say Gilbert Arenas to a casual NBA fan or a casual sports fan, most of them will be like, oh, isn't that guy that got in trouble because he brought his gun to the locker room? And that's what he's known for, when a lot of people forget how good he was. Like, he certainly fell off in the latter stages of his career, but those early to mid 2000s Wizards teams that he was leading, I mean, I just hopped on Basketball Reference, 04-05, 05-06 and 06-07, three straight all-star appearances for Gilbert Arenas. 25.5 points per game, 29.3 points per game, 28.4 points per game. And he was dishing out somewhere around like 5.5 or 6 assists per game with those insane scoring numbers. Like, the dude was legit. He was one of the best guards in the league for that stretch of early to mid 2000s, after the Lakers, original reign, and those Wizards teams with Gilbert Arenas were relevant, and the dude was a baller. And mostly what he's remembered for now is the guy who royally screwed up and brought his gun to a locker room. And it's just crazy that these extra details about why that all played out and how it happened have come to light so many years later.
I look at Gilbert Arenas' career, and you're right, dude. I think this situation took Gilbert Arenas' career and kind of shifted it. And you look at the time that Gilbert Arenas was getting paid, and he was at the highest level of his game. He was one of the highest paid players in the NBA. I think there was a stat out there that over Gilbert Arenas' four-year contract, he only played in like 17 or 19 games total, because he battled a couple injuries here and there over the course of a couple seasons. But then the Washington Wizards traded him in the middle of the 2010-11 season. And then shortly after that, like nearly a year later, he was waived by the Orlando Magic, and pretty much that ended his career there. But
I think he had like one more season where he played for the Grizzlies for like a handful of games, and then that was it.
Yeah, and the funny thing is he was still getting paid when he got waived by the Orlando Magic in December 9, 2011. he was still getting paid $17.7 million by the Magic. And then following that, those 2 years, $19.2 million and then $20.8 million. So that can tell you how badly the Orlando Magic wanted Gilbert Arenas off their team.
Yeah, I mean, well, can you blame him? Like, that's a giant headache to have to deal with that kind of bad publicity. And this is, so this happened in December 2009. After the, you know, the height of Gilbert Arenas' career statistically was a couple seasons before that, but still he was a legit guy, and as you said, getting paid big money. But the fact that this came out was such a bad PR look, because, and not just for the Wizards but for the league, because David Stern, who was still the commissioner at the time, had spent so much effort cleaning up the NBA's reputation. And, you know, even several years before this, the Malice at the Palace happened, that awful brawl between the Pacers and Pistons. And that was a really ugly stain on the league, which had taken steps to correct a lot of the ugliness that existed in the NBA in the late 70s and early 80s. Like, the league had a, you know, the league had a big cocaine problem. A lot of the players in the league were getting into all sorts of trouble. And it was an ugly league where fights were breaking out all the time, and if there was this like growing perception that a lot of these NBA players, and this part of this was when shortly after the NBA-ABA merger happened and they were trying to wrangle all that stuff, like it was, there was a growing reputation that the NBA was just a bunch of thugs that were getting in fights and all that stuff. And David Stern and the league did so much to correct that and turn the league around. Obviously the 90s and the MJ days saved it after the Bird and Magic years of the 80s, and then Kobe took over the reins, and like they did all these things to try to clean up the image of the league. And this was the first really bad PR look, not just for Arenas and the Wizards themselves, but for the league, to say, how the hell do you let a player bring a gun into a locker room? So it's no surprise that the Wizards were like, yeah, no, we need to move on from this.
And it wasn't even one player and one gun either. It was multiple guns and multiple players bringing guns.
Right.
I got to read you a couple of these quotes before, and I'll let you guys go and read this by yourself too, because there is some lines in here that had me dying yesterday when I was reading this. So there's an exchange on the plane when this actually happened, when they were playing the game and they were going on a road trip. And the game involved Gilbert Arenas, Javaris Crittenden, JaVale McGee, and Earl Boykins. And they're looking at all of this and they're playing. And obviously, Gilbert Arenas is like in the game, but he knows he's not going to win. And JaVale McGee clearly is going to win. And there was a sign from Earl Boykins that he knew. So they were trying to basically fuck over Javaris Crittenden. And there's a line in here where Gilbert Arenas goes during the middle of the game. He goes, I scream, oh, shit. I think he's going to choke himself out with the seatbelt. This is about to be the boo record, people. So I guess you scream out boo when somebody has to double down or has to match. And apparently JaVale McGee had all the trump cards and didn't have to take any new cards in this. And that line on top of JaVale McGee ending up almost basically winning the game, winning like $5,000 to $7,000 on this game of Blu-ray. And then he follows it up with, they figured it out, JaVale wins, Arenas said. The plane lands, and now Javaris says to JaVale, so you're just going to let me lose my money like that? You ain't even gonna be real and give me a chance to get my money back? Aw, hell nah, JaVale responds. This is the type of shit that gets you fucked up in these streets. And he's like, I was like, Javaris, I will burn your car while you're in it. This is Gilbert Arenas talking. He's like, Javaris, I will burn you in your car while you're in it. Then we'll find an extinguisher to help your ass out. And then he says, well, I'll just shoot you then. And then Gilbert Arenas said, man, I'll bring you the gun to shoot me. Long story short, Gilbert Arenas brought 4 guns to the locker room literally the next day.
God.
And laid them out and looked at Javaris. And I guess basically the end of the story is everybody but those two cleared out the locker room. And it turns out Javaris Crittenden also brought guns too. So that ended up turning out to David Stern suspending both of the guys for the season, all because JaVale McGee won a game of Blu-ray and Gilbert Arenas set him up.
Dude, the king of Shaqued and a Fool. almost got some teammates killed.
Do you know who else was on that roster at the time? Nick Young. Like, think about the clown
Swaggy
squad
P?
In that locker room, the clown squad. Yeah, Nick Young got suspended, I think, for 16 or 17 games.
He's been around longer than I think, you know? I just, like, I always think of him as like this young fool of a kid who thinks he's a lot better than he is. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's like winning a title with the Warriors this year. But like, man, the fact that he was on an NBA roster all the way back in 09-10, that's crazy.
Yeah, he was drafted. His first year was 2007-2008 when he was 22 with the Wizards.
Get out of here. Swaggy P is that old?
He's been in the league for 10 seasons. 10 seasons.
Wow. That is a mind blow to me. That's crazy. Ah, wow. Well, I just... Time passes. I feel old.
So we'll link this on our Twitter account if you haven't read it already. Once again, you can Google it. It's the Action Network. Just Google the Action Network Gilbert Arenas. This will be the first story to pop up. Or if you want to go straight to our Twitter at Locked On Bulls, we'll have it linked there as well. This is one of the funniest stories, though, that I've read in a long time. So sit down, give yourself about 20 minutes to read this, and just read through the ridiculousness. Before really the NBA shifted and Adam Silver came in, this was still in the David Stern era. But yeah, great story, great little tidbit in the NBA offseason. That's exactly what I needed to get through this week.
You think Jabari and Zach LaVine are going to get into any gambling fights in the locker room this season?
I certainly hope not. It'll be funny. I hope we get a chance to interview Zach LaVine or Bobby Portis, because I would love to ask them about this game and some of the stories maybe that they have on the road of playing this game with some certain guys. I'm sure they've got great stories too as well.
You don't want to get on Bobby's bad side. I'll tell you that right now.
So, yeah, so I would love to ask them about about this story and just this game in general, because it seems like a popular game, and Zach LaVine learning it from the best and Kevin Garnett. So very interesting, very, very fun story to read about. We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, we're talking about Bobby Portis and a potential extension that him and the Bulls seem to be having ongoing discussions about. So we'll talk about that, whether it's worth it for the Bulls to re-sign him long-term, what that might mean for the Bulls' cap space, and if they're not going to decide to bring him back, maybe what his value is on the trade market. So we're going to talk about that and so much more. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. All right, back here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, you can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. You can text and drop us a voicemail as well, 331-979-1369. We're doing mailbag tomorrow, so make sure you get your voicemails in, your text messages, your questions. Hit us up on social media or our text and voicemail line. Once again, that's 331-979-1369 to hit us up. All right, Matt, this is a conversation we kind of had right at the beginning of the summer, talking about the Bulls cap space and with Bobby Portis having one of the best years on this Bulls team. I think if you could talk about a surprise and everything that happened at the beginning of the season with him and Nico Mirotic, I don't think anybody expected for Bobby Portis to have the season that he did last year, especially coming off the bench. I guess we get to a conversation about not only extension talks, which it seems like him and the Bulls are ongoing with this conversation. He's been quoted saying that, you know, they've been talking throughout the summer per Casey Johnson. You look at that, and then he said when he gets back to Chicago full-time and getting ready and ramped up for training camp, they're going to have ongoing discussions about an extension. So I guess my first question to you, Matt, is what's a price for Bobby Portis that might be too high for the Bulls to try and match if they want to keep that flexibility open for next season, especially with not really knowing what Jabari Parker's going to be like this year?
Yeah, I think that what you just touched on there makes it really hard to put a number on if the Bulls and Bobby are going to come to an agreement on an extension before he hits unrestricted free agency next summer. And you mentioned it, the latest we've heard from a column from our friend Casey Johnson yesterday, 2 days ago, is a quote from Bobby saying, "We've been talking about it. We're going to talk more in the next week or so. Hopefully we get things done." That's him talking about an extension. And he said, "I'm not stressing about it. I work as hard as I can every day. I let my agent handle all of that. I handle everything on the court and just try to get better each day." So according to Bobby, it does sound like they are still in talks. But as far as a number that might at this point be too rich for the Bulls, if they're trying to get him to a contract extension, I would say if Bobby's looking for anything above $12 million per, they're going to say, no, that's too rich. I think they might be willing to offer him something in the along the lines of like $10 million per season. I think basically what this boils down to is I would be surprised to see them come to terms for an extension for Bobby before the opening night of this season, which is when they would have to get this done by. Because basically, there are two variables here that the Bulls front office and coaching staff need to evaluate in terms of how they fit with this rebuild. They know Bobby well at this point. They know who he is, and they know what he can do, and they saw the big improvements he made last season, and they also already know what his weaknesses are and where he needs to improve. The variables that will have an effect on Bobby staying or going are Jabari Parker and Wendell Carter Jr. Because let's just ignore the fact that the Bulls are talking and planning about playing Jabari at the three to start the season. Knowing that Jabari will likely have to play some minutes at the four because the Bulls are going small or because they just realize that he's really not that well suited to play the three, that's going to eat into Bobby's minutes. Wendell Carter Jr., if they like what they see from the rook and want to give him some real minutes, especially in the early going when Robin Lopez is still on his roster and still starting, that's going to eat into Bobby's minutes that he might get at the five. So to me, the Bulls front office is going to wait this out and evaluate what they think they have in Jabari Parker, evaluate what they think they have in Wendell Carter Jr., and those two players who will need minutes at the two positions that Bobby plays, depending on how valuable those two players look after this 18-19 season, will determine how aggressively they want to try to keep Bobby on board. And if Jabari flops and they let him walk, then I think it's far more likely that they find a way to keep Bobby Portis in the fold. It might cost them more money at that point because at that point he'll be an unrestricted free agent. But I still think they're going to wait it out.
Do you think Bobby Portis can start on any of the other 29 NBA teams right now? Like, after the season that he had, do you think he realistically thinks he can be a starter sometime in this league? And do you feel like right now, if he was to go on the open market, just say, for instance, after the season that he just had, do you think he could start on any of the 29 other NBA teams right this second?
Do I think he could start on any of... Yeah. I mean, I'm not putting him as a starter on one of the best teams in the league. He could theoretically be a starter on a middling playoff team. I'd give him that.
So that's where I got kind of caught up, because I'm thinking about this in terms of what maybe Bobby Portis is thinking. You know, not just the money, but also the playing time and his role on this team too. You know, it could not necessarily be the money, because I feel like no matter what Bobby Portis decides to do, I think he's going to get a long-term contract from somebody, because he's clearly shown that he can play, he can score, and he's very young too. And so I look at both of those things, and I guess it's a more of a question to Bobby Portis is like, do you see yourself as a solid role player in an NBA rotation, or do you legitimately feel like you can be a starter somewhere and help a team build something to end up down the road, end up winning something? So I think that's a big question for him too. And you brought up the points of maybe Parker having to play the four at times, and maybe Wendell Carter Jr. being at the five, and maybe that eliminating some rotation minutes from Bobby Portis. I have a hard time believing that they're going to, after the season that Bobby Portis had, I have a hard time feeling that the Bulls are going to take away minutes from him, because I believe he averaged around 22 or 23 minutes last season. I can imagine that now, looking at the Bulls bench right now, he's probably their sixth man, right? Him or Denzel Valentine?
Sixth man of the year. that's the plan for Bobby this season.
I would be thrilled if he did that. So you look at that, and then I guess...
But yes, he's the first man off the bench. I mean, that's if he's not, I would be surprised and I would be angry.
So I guess my thing is if you're going to sign Bobby Portis to a long-term extension, and then your plan is to keep Jabari Parker here beyond just this 1 year, like, you're looking at a cap space of only having potentially anywhere between $8 and $10 million left, and you still got some decisions to make on some other guys, maybe a contract extension or early contract extension talks for Chris Dunn. So I think I would hope that Bobby Portis doesn't get frustrated this season if at times he's not. I can't imagine, though, that he wouldn't get fit into the rotation somewhere. Like, I feel like Fred has enough confidence in Bobby Portis as a scorer off the bench, and you're going to need that, too. Like, it's all fine and good to talk about what the Bulls roster is on paper, but realistically, when those guys get on the floor, I would imagine as skilled as Wendell Carter Jr. is in that second unit this year, he's going to hit a rookie wall the way Lauri Markkanen did this year. He's going to struggle at times. It's just the way rookies, it happens to every rookie out there. It's very rare that you see rookies not struggle in their first year, and so it's going to happen at points. And same thing with Chandler Hutchison. Like, if you're planning to play him at three, there's going to be struggles there as well. Robin Lopez, too, might be another one to factor in and whether or not they move him as well. And I think that presses the Bulls even more to try to move somebody in this front court off this team. And whether that's Cristiano Felicio, and I don't even know if they're going to even take a look at him.
Dude, Felicio's not even in it. He's not even in the conversation at this point. Like, I can't, like, if they're giving Felicio legitimate minutes and Bobby is playing fewer minutes per game than last season, then something is horribly wrong. If Felicio is getting more minutes than Wendell Carter Jr., then something is horribly wrong. Like, Gar screwed the pooch on that one. There's no two ways about it. And you and I sat here after the decent season that Felicio had in 16-17 and said, like, maybe he's worth an extension. And we saw 4 years, 32, and thought, okay, well, we weren't thinking that much, but we'll see where it goes. Then obviously his 17-18 season was a gigantic disaster. They just have to swallow that. I don't know what they could do to get Felicio off this roster. They would have to definitely be creative, and they'd have to find a team that's willing to deal and want something in return. But there is no way in hell Felicio should be factoring into this rotation whatsoever if you're talking about needing minutes for Wendell and Bobby Portis and Markkanen in that front court. Robin Lopez starting the season at center before you maybe find a way to ship him off and get an asset for him. There is no room for Felicio in this rotation right now. Like, I am firm on that.
I agree with you, but I'm just thinking it from the Bulls' perspective here is like, yeah, you've got Felicio on this roster for, what, two more years after this season? So basically three seasons still. And a contract extension, like you said, which is going to be hard to remove from this roster. So what do you have to do with players like that? You let them ride the bench for the next 3 years, which obviously a lot of Bulls fans would say, yeah, do that because you made the mistake on him, and don't penalize the guys that you actually want to see on the floor, like you said, in Wendell Carter Jr. or Bobby Portis. But at the same time, I got to imagine at least either Fred or that front office is going to say at one point this season, like, we've got to see if we have anything in Felicio and if we can get any value at all out of him. So that's why, like, even though, like, on paper it's good to say, yeah, he'll never get in the rotation, but to me, I don't know if I necessarily buy into that 100% just because he is here for three more seasons. So
yeah, I'm fully expecting to see glimpses of Felicio, especially in the beginning of the season when they're still going to try to make a last-ditch effort to prove that he's not completely useless. But I'm saying from the realist's perspective, from the perspective of someone who is a fan of logic, that's a sunk cost at this point. And I don't really know what he can do other than take away minutes from guys that I want to see get minutes, and that's Bobby Portis and that's Wendell Carter Jr.
So the only other thing I can think of, and this is what kind of going back to what I said about Jabari Parker, is the fact that maybe the Bulls do sign him into an extension, and then Bobby Portis is a part of a trade package, you know, potentially for a superstar. If we're being told a truthful statement that the Bulls are trying to be in play for a superstar in either 2019 or 2020. So signing to him an extension means that
it would need to be a fairly team friendly deal for Bobby, between his skill level, what he can offer on the court, and the team friendliness of his contract collectively, to make him an enticing piece to put into a sign and trade if for a team trading away a big star. Because no offense to Bobby, and he is a good, solid player, but if the Bulls sign him to an extension that is probably a little bit richer than what the average NBA front office would deem he is worth, then that's no longer an asset that you can put on the trade table to say, yeah, don't you want this player? If he's not on a team-friendly deal, if he's on an overpay, he loses his value as a trade asset.
Would you be mad at all, or you think Bulls fans would be mad at all if, say, the Bulls decided to do this, say to Bobby Portis, you know what, we're going to hold off extension talks now, see what happens this season, and then maybe we come back at the end of the season and you can test the free agency waters. And like we said last, like over the last couple of weeks, that there's going to be a lot of teams that do have money to spend next season, and you see a lot of these guys that are going to be potential free agents trying to line themselves up with 2019 in order to get paid by a lot of these teams. So I'm just curious what maybe Bobby Portis would be worth on the open market. I told you, I think if they get anywhere between, I don't know, start to pay a guy over $10 million that's going to be coming off your bench and not starting legitimate minutes for you, then you got get kind of in a situation where it's like, is it worth it? But then at the same time, I'm thinking about it in the sense of, okay, well, if the Bulls say, you know what, we're good, you're going to get overpaid, we're not going to pay for that, you're letting a first round pick just walk away for nothing. And I think that's been one of the boiling points for Bulls fans, as far as like letting assets and part of teams that actually have value just walk away for nothing. You look at what they did with David Nwaba, with Pau Gasol, like multiple guys that they felt like had value here, you let them walk away for nothing. So that's the one
thing. Plenty of people wanted them to walk away from Levine's Kings offer.
That's true. That's very true. But he also wasn't drafted by the Bulls either. So thinking about that too, and I'm not necessarily saying that you need to bring guys back that you drafted, but I feel like Bobby Portis has made a case for himself at least last year, and maybe we'll see what he does this season again, that he is worth at least taking a look at an extension that might be underneath $10 million per year over a multi-year deal. And like I said before, I wouldn't even count it out as a possibility that maybe he's brought back on an extension and maybe that's gearing up to try and trade for a star that maybe wants out of a place. And I don't know who that would be at this point. I don't think anybody really knows at this point. But that could be a part of the game plan for the Bulls here, is to sign him to an extension, have a piece in place to be able to trade should a star come available. So maybe that's an option too. But realistically, if the Bulls are serious about bringing him back and he's a part of this core, and maybe there's a flip side to this, maybe they do feel like the core that they have in place right now, minus some role players that they can find next year or 2 years down the road, maybe this is the core that the Bulls feel like that they can be strong within this East. So to me,
that still doesn't mean that the likelihood is great that he's getting an extension before the season starts.
True. No, I agree with that.
I'll concede to your point that it's possible, but and I would also concede that, yeah, I think the Bulls really like Bobby Portis and would like to keep him around. But going back to my earlier point, it makes way more sense from their perspective, given the crazy names that are going to be free agents in 2019. I don't see Bobby being anywhere close to any team's first priority. And that's no knock on Bobby. That's just the reality of the fact that he's going to come into restricted free agency as a mid-level free agent. Mid-tier, second tier, maybe even third tier. The Bulls have to weigh their options, and they have to see what this looks like this season. They have to see what Jabari looks like. They have to see what Wendell looks like. Because if the two positions that Bobby plays all of a sudden are crowded, and you got Wendell that you want to keep around and give big minutes to as a sophomore, and you got Markkanen in the front court, and you got Jabari, and you want to play him, and you want to play him real minutes at the four in addition to minutes at the three, Bobby might be the odd man out. It would suck. It would suck for him, and it would suck for the Bulls, who would really like to keep him. But that's what I'm saying. They're gonna evaluate these other two new pieces in Wendell and Jabari, and based on what happens with those guys and whether Jabari is a guy that they actually want to keep around, I think will have an impact on their decision to keep or let to keep Bobby or let him go. And again, you know, this goes back to my feelings on the Jabari signing in the first place. It's like I would much rather that they put an emphasis on really making Bobby a part of the future of this team, and Jabari coming in kind of screws up the works on that. So
yeah, I was going to ask you if you felt like at all that maybe there'd be some frustration from Bobby Portis just because they brought in Jabari Parker on a one-year deal, and maybe if they are catering more to see what he's like, and maybe in contract extensions before the season starts, they say, yeah, well, we've got a couple guys we need to evaluate first before we have extension talks with you. I think as a player, that might frustrate you, and maybe that creates some, hey, you know what, if I go out and ball out this season, then I'm not giving you guys a discount. We're not talking about an extension here. I'm going to go on the open market, and if you guys really want to talk about re-signing me, then you're going to have to sign me at maybe a potentially higher level than maybe what it would cost them at the beginning of this season. So,
well, I mean, I think for now, Bobby's okay with it. And like that was even another quote in that Casey column when we were talking about him, his comments about his contract extension. Bobby said, Jabbar gives us another versatile player in our front court. We can have mismatches all over the floor. We're turning in the right direction. So he, at least for the sake of lip service, has put a positive spin and positive remarks behind this Jabari arrival. And in the early going, I don't think Jabari's arrival will mess with Bobby all that much. You talked about him being a 22.5 minutes per game player last season and likely this season being sixth man first off the bench because they are going to start Jabari at the three and Markkanen at the four and Robin Lopez at the five. If at some point this season Jabari and Bobby have to conflict with one another for minutes because the Bulls figure out that they don't really want to play Jabari at the three all that often and you still have Markkanen at the four as well, then it's going to maybe be a problem. And we saw, like, Bobby clearly is a motivated guy. He had a tweet yesterday that I absolutely loved. He said, you appreciate everything you work for 100% more. And I completely agree with that. He worked his butt off last offseason and was pissed off when Nico, after being nowhere to be found in the offseason, came in, got a new contract done at the midnight hour, swooped in, and stole the starting power forward spot that Bobby thought he deserved. And that's how that whole fight started. So maybe at some point this season, you see Bobby get a little frustrated if Jabari, the new arrival, starts eating into his minutes at the four because this failed experiment at the three doesn't work out.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, though. To be honest with you, I think looking at what the roster is right now, I think the Bulls are going to force Jabari Parker to play the three all season long. Like, unless this thing is an entire disaster, I think at stretches, maybe you see Parker play a little bit of the four like we were talking about with some rotations here and there, but I don't think it's going to be anything significant. Like, if Jabari Parker's out on the floor, and I know we talked about realistically where we would want him to play and what would be the most productive, and which is at the four, I just feel like the Bulls are not going to do that. They brought him here to be a wing player, and that's what they signed him a one-year tryout for, to see if he can actually do that. I think feel like that's going to just be forced all season. Like, the Bulls are going to put him, if he's out on the floor, he's at the wing position.
Nah.
And maybe that doesn't even, no, you don't think so?
Well, no, Jordan, they have to play him at least some minutes at the four, because if they actually want to properly evaluate him on a one-year prove-it deal to see if they want to pick up the option or resign him to a longer-term deal, they have to see what he looks like with this core of other young players around him playing both positions. They can't just ignore that half of this experiment, knowing they can sell Jabari at the three to us all they want, or they can try. But they have to be aware of the fact that Jabari in Milwaukee looked much more efficient playing the four than the three. And if they don't give him real minutes at the four, they're doing themselves a disservice to see if he somehow fits into this. So, yes, he will play minutes at the four. If he doesn't, the Bulls' prove-it deal one-year experiment on Jabari is going to be a complete waste of time.
I'm just telling you, realistic options here, man. And knowing what's been played out before, like, they brought him here to be a wing, and I can...
No, they brought him here to sell tickets and be a name is what they did. Let's be honest for a second.
But still, I'm telling you, my honest feelings about this is that we're probably going to see a split as far as talking about the three and the four at the end of the season. Jabari Parker playing anywhere between 75 and 85% of his minutes at the wing and maybe 15% at the four. Like, that's just realistically what I feel like, because the Bulls are so desperate. You got to go back to think about how many wings are actually on this team. You have one legitimate guy that can play the three that is known to play that. That's his pure position, and that's Chandler Hutchison, and that's your rookie. Like, everybody else is not a wing player,
and he's kind of like a combo guard who can play the three,
right?
Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Chandler Hutchison playing Bulga Hizman is at the two.
So you tell me who's going to be playing the
Denzel at the three, oh, God, Justin Holiday with some minutes at the three. I don't see it. I don't know. I'm agreeing with you. Like, you're right. The wing is the position of need right now, and that's where they're trying to shove Jabari as a square peg into a round hole. And I'm saying they would be doing themselves a disservice if they didn't at least give him a significant fraction of his minutes. I'm saying at least a third of his minutes need to be at the four. I don't care who you're playing with him at the five and at the three in those spots, but you need to play Jabari minutes at the four to see if he's worth keeping in that respect. Because, I mean, the one piece that most everybody can agree that is going to stick around and they want to build around is a kid who plays the four. But if you have these ideas about maybe shifting Market into a small ball five in the later stages of his career, and Jabari looks like a solid four playing alongside Markkanen in some stretches, or looks like a solid four playing alongside Wendell at the five in some stretches, then maybe that impacts the Bulls' decision on whether or not to keep him. You can't only play him at the three this season. You just can't.
You can't, but they might. They honestly might.
Well, we have seen crazier things from this front office.
I guess the only thing I take away from this is then you got to move Robin Lopez almost immediately. Like, to me, That clears up a lot of the issues that we're talking about right now. You take him off the roster, then you can shift Carter into the five. You can move Markkanen from the four to the five at times. You can bring Portis in, too, and play him at the four or the five as well. So you're looking at the ability to move some of these guys in the front court around a little bit. But I think as the roster stands right now, you don't have any wing players. You have Chandler Hutchison, and that's it. Justin Holiday can't play the wing. Denzel Valentine, sorry, good try, but no, you're a backup shooting guard. Some of these other guys on the roster, too, like, can't play legitimate minutes. I know that they just signed Antonius Cleveland. They're not going to get anything major out of him either. So right now, as the roster sits right now, I think that front court is loaded. And why would they try to mess with it and move Jabari to the four? Especially early on, I don't think that's going to happen. So I think as long as Robin Lopez is still on this roster, I think even if Jabari plays really bad at the three, they're still going to force him out there every night to play the wing position just because they don't have any legitimate wings and they want to see everybody that they have and get some of these guys legitimate minutes. So I think I just go back to the main theme is they need to move Robin Lopez immediately.
Yeah, and if not move him, sit him. And that's a really sucky thing to say because Robin Lopez is the most well-liked guy in that locker room. The young guys look up to him. He's a great veteran presence in the locker room. He's a great leader on and off the court. And he's genuinely one of the most liked guys across the league. Everybody in this league loves Robin Lopez. Great personality, funny guy, kind, you know, all these wonderful characteristics. And he was a selfless team-first player last season when the Bulls sat him and Justin Holiday for a stretch to say, we got to get some of these younger kids minutes and also, P.S., we're trying to tank. And he sat on the bench and he was still a leader. If the Bulls can't move Lopez quickly this season, I wouldn't be surprised to see him still get relegated to the bench for large stretches of games and have some DNPs, and maybe we'll see a fictitious or exaggerated injury from Robin Lopez. As much as they like that guy, and as much as I like Robin Lopez, with this arrival of Jabari and this Bulls front court that we have now with the addition of the rookie Wendell, I'm sorry, like, Robin's got to go. He's got to go.
My main point here is that you're going to have to look around the NBA and hope something doesn't work out for somebody that's playing the center that's actually a legitimate playoff team. Maybe the Wizards and Dwight Howard experiment doesn't work out, especially early on. Maybe that's a situation where you can ship Robin Lopez off. And I'm not even saying you need to get anything for him. It's just like it's more important to move him off the roster in order to create space for some of these
other
guys.
And it shouldn't be that hard. He's on an expiring deal. Like, it shouldn't be that hard to move him. You're probably not going to get a first-round pick for him. I'd be
hell
okay
no. You're
getting
a second-round pick for him.
I assumed, like, even if there were other facets to the trade, there's no way with any other variables in that trade that they're going to get a first-round pick in return. Maybe a second-round pick. And even if not, just find a way to clear that space. Maybe add a young wing prospect. I don't know. But they need to be making those calls October 15th. Like, as soon as this season starts, they need to be making those calls.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, you can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. We're doing mailbag tomorrow. Hit us up with all of your questions, all of your text messages, and all of your voicemails. Once again, 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.